Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another obscure footballer's autobiography. Less Harper-ly, more Rob-ly. I'm James Vug, and today we're bringing you a slightly different show, the Football Book Club Wider Reading, the companion show where we go into a little more depth about the masterpieces we've been reading over the weeks, with interviews, questions from you guys, and all that top quality stuff we didn't have time for, basically so we don't get an aneurysm from reading football books every single week.
Thank you so much.
And joining me, as you can hear, is a very relieved Jeff Bernhardt.
Yes!
Friend of the show.
Hello. Friend of the show. How dare you?
Jack, how you feel? We've had a really good selection of books so far, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We've had Old Jertsy, Weird Breakfast Eating Man.
Yeah. That's not something we mentioned in the episode, but yeah.
No, sorry. Yeah, we should say he does like his breakfast because we
there's a very famous picture of him eating
famous.
A croissant with beans.
Yes, it's just behind the Mona Lisa in fame. Yeah.
It's worth looking up.
It is genuinely worth looking up because it's disgusting.
But then after Jertsy's bizarre book, we kind of moved on to some genuinely very good books.
Genuinely very good books. Grant Holt.
Yeah.
Wonderful Grant Holt.
And then Paddy Kenny last week, who we spoke to.
Who we are now best friends with?
I'd say we're probably best friends in the world.
Yeah, I'd say we're best friends in the world. Paddy tells us everything.
We tried to call Jertsy Dudek. This isn't a lie. We genuinely tried to call him. Didn't pick up.
That's true.
There'd be someone else asking about that bloody picture of me eating a croissant with beans.
Please, just let me eat my croissant with beans in peace.
Coming up on the show today, we'll be talking to the man who wrote Grant Holt's book with Grant. I didn't know someone did write the book with Grant.
I thought it was all Grant.
We'll be finding out which football book club hero has their own branded gin. And of course, we'll be taking questions from you. But first, you might have noticed in last week's episode, we didn't have a dramatic reading. Did you notice that, Jack?
I did actually notice that.
There was a reason behind it, Jack. It's that we took far, far too much of his time.
We spent, how long did we talk to him for?
Well over an hour.
Yeah. And he looked fed up and bored by the end. No, he didn't. He was actually such a good sport.
I think he could have got going. He genuinely said he was hungry. Paddy, I'm conscious that we're taking up a bit of your time. Are you okay to chat for another 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, that's right. Although my stomach's rumbling now, you know.
So
I'm not eating for how long have I been on? An hour. I'm not eating for an hour. I'm staff.
I'm sorry.
I feel like I'm wasting away in this chair.
If you want to eat your food while talking to us, that sounds great on a podcast.
And Paddy, we don't provide dinner.
We're
a real Leeds United situation.
Okay. Hey, I've even got my own socks. I buy my own. Yeah, I need them from Leeds before we had to buy them.
If Massimo Cellino's listening, he's don't tell him.
Wait, I owe you 20 quid.
Anyway, we couldn't deny you a Paddy Kenny dramatic reading, so we're going to bring it to you now. This is James, Jack and I reading an exclusive segment from Paddy Kenny's The Gloves Are Off.
Boom, 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 boom.
Do you want Paddy Kenny's dramatic reading?
More than anything else in the world.
There's a lot of dramatic moments in the book, so it was very hard to choose this, but can somebody please cue the dramatic music?
Cue dramatic music.
Beautiful. This story is called Paddy Kenny Gets His Drain Fixed.
For context, of all the stories we could tell...
For context, this is just before Paddy's first meeting with his new manager at Sheffield United, Brian Robson. Brian and I's relationship could have easily got off on the wrong foot. I had bought a new house that summer, but the builder had ballsed up the drains.
Classic Paddy Kenny swearing there.
That's the tamest swear word he has in the whole
book. Oh, sure. And it's also a very technical term. I've done a slight ballsing up of the drain.
My house was the bottom house on the estate, and because all the shit water had nowhere to go, it all ran down the slope and settled in my garden.
Very technical stuff here.
Yeah. Excuse me, the shit water's drooping down.
I've ballsed up the drain, so the shit water's going everywhere. Could you please sort this?
I was having a conservatory built at the time, and the freshly dug foundations just filled with shit straight away. I had to have environmental health round and all sorts, so I wasn't particularly pleased. The builder said he'd get a machine to come and suck up all the crap and it would be sorted. This is the perfect example of Paddy's book.
Genuinely is, because there are instead, so many other ways to tell this story.
You got one of the machines that that sucks up all the crap. Yeah, one of them ones.
Yeah.
The shit
water. You know, for when you've ballsed up the drain.
Instead, he used buckets to scoop it all up and poured it over the fence. What a cowboy. Onto next door's garden. I caught the whole thing on my camera. I rang him on the Saturday to ask what the fuck he was playing at, and we had a massive do on the phone. He came to see me on the Sunday, the day before we were back at pre-season, and we ended up fighting.
First of all, the idea that Paddy's got his camera out, being like, all right, I'm gonna watch you, but... I have a big bucket of shit over my neighbour's fence. and then being like, well, look, I've got it all on camera, and then immediately fighting. I said this to James. It reminds me of, you know, the bit in The Simpsons where the guy who invented Itchy and Scratchy, who always gets into fights with people because he hasn't fixed any of the things he says he's going to fix.
Yeah, paint my chicken coop, make me.
Make me, and then they just start fighting. Unballs up my drain, make me.
Okay, clean my shit water.
Make me.
They ended up fighting. We were rolling around the floor outside my house under my car. How did you get to the car? I ended up with a huge graze on my face, and afterwards I remembered that I was due to meet a brand new manager and a childhood hero of mine the day after. Fuck, what do I say? I thought I'd just be honest. I've had a Barney with someone who's being dodgy in my house. He didn't do anything wrong. We had a scrap. Maybe no one will even notice.
I mean, I definitely would have said, oh, I just fell over. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, I've just fallen over.
As opposed to explain shitwater to Brian Robson.
Yeah, Brian Robson doesn't need to know about your shitwater, Paddy.
I walked into the changing room and Robson came straight around the corner. What happened to your face? He asked straight away in his Geordie accent. James, can you do that?
He's not that strong, Geordie, though, is he, Brian Robson? It's quite diluted, right?
What happened to your face?
He asked straight away in his Geordie accent. I braced myself and came clean, telling him all about the house and the builder and the fight. Robson punched me in the stomach with a huge grin on his face. Love all that, Paddy, he said. We're going to get on, me and you. I was completely lost of words. We hadn't even said hello to each other. Welcome to Sheffield United.
I love that.
By the book, it's a classic.
It is a classic. I love that he punched him in the stomach as if it's like, the twist is, I was the builder all along.
He punched me in the stomach and we fought under my car. I could read Paddy Kenny writing about anything. Anything. I could read Paddy Kenny writing the autobiography of Grant Holt.
Didn't really know him. Didn't really play with him. Sure, he's a nice bloke. Though a lot that we didn't talk about in that episode, actually. As well.
A lot of questions. Was there anything you wanted to ask him, which you didn't get a chance to?
I wanted to ask about his mum, because his mum sounds amazing. Because you talked a bit about his dad, but his mum apparently at one point called up a radio phone-in show that was slagging off Paddy Kenny and was just there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that bit. Yeah.
Being like, hey, shut up about my son. You guys don't know anything about the truth, which is great.
And anything about the truth?
Anything about the truth, something like that.
Isn't that quote from A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
you guys don't know anything about the truth.
You want the truth?
You can't handle anything about the truth.
Please, Mrs. Kenny, calm down.
Actually, there's one thing that I wanted to ask him about. In the book, he takes her. There's like a Sheffield United training assignment or QPR. Uh-huh. There's like a whole bowl full of copies of FIFA, like 10 or something, like FIFA 2010 or something, on the table.
So weird.
And he just nicks 10 of them. He doesn't nick them. He's allowed to take them, but he just takes 10. He goes like, so my kids can take them to whatever house we're in at the time.
So
I want to know what the maddest gift he ever got was. Because they get given loads of stuff, he says. He says the richer you get, the more you get given stuff.
Yeah, it's that weird thing, isn't it, where you don't need it at that point, but then you just get given it.
God, so no one gives. Well, actually, we get books sometimes.
We got this book in advance.
That's very true. I can't. Yeah. I got 10 copies. I gave them to all my kids.
Yeah. Any house they want, they can read Paddy Kenny's book now.
I want to know what it is, though. I'll get him. I'll text him. I'll text him and ask him. What gift did you get, Paddy?
We're cool, right, Paddy? We're cool.
I don't think he does think. I think he thinks I'm a big tech nerd, because one thing I didn't let you know about in the show. Well, actually, Jack, you heard me doing it. I had to talk through. I don't think you mind me saying this. I had to talk Paddy through installing Google Chrome before we did the interview because we needed it to record through some software we're using.
And yeah.
One thing I never thought I'd have to do was talk Paddy Kenny through a browser installation. So last week on the show, we spoke to a footballer about writing their autobiography, but what's it like to be the other person, the author who helps them write it? Well, a man who might be able to shed some light on what it's like to write a footballer's autobiography is our next guest, the man footballers go to when they need to get their crazy and often libelous stories to make vague sense. Footballers like Grant Holt, and we're joined by Grant Holt's A Real Football Life co-author, Daniel Brigham. Welcome to the show, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, James. Very, really good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much. We read A Real Football Life in episode 2. We loved it. Big question, Daniel. Top 5 chocolate bars. Go.
Top 5 chocolate bars.
Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
Okay. Well, number one, can I go in reverse order?
Okay.
Sure.
I'm going to... This is going to reveal how dull I am, actually. So they're nearly all plain chocolate.
I would argue that by asking the question, we've revealed how dull we are.
I'm certainly not going to be. It's not going to be as assorted as Grant Holt's choices. But number one is a Whisper bar.
Love it.
Okay.
Number two is a wait for it, a Kit Kat.
Oh,
regular or chunky?
I did warn you. Well, I was going to say number three is a Kit Kat peanut butter flavour.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
Yep. And now this is very much a case of trying to remember chocolate bars rather than trying to remember my favourite. So I'm going to say number, where are we, four?
Four, yeah, four. Number four.
I'm going to go the Kit Kat orange flavour.
Oh, you are obsessed with
really
Kit Kats.
Really delightful. I'm not sure you can get that anywhere
okay.
anymore. And then,
is number five a Kit Kat?
Genuinely struggling to think of one. I'm not a big chocolate eater. That top five was a very difficult process to write.
Yeah.
I couldn't do the research. I just didn't know anything about chocolate bars.
Yeah, what is a chocolate bar?
What is this chocolate bar you speak of, Grant?
Let's say a Mars bar. They still exist, okay. Don't they?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. That started off.
If you'd asked me about crisps, which, you know, now I'd rather you didn't, to be honest, but if you had asked me about crisps, I could have come up with a much more interesting answer.
That'd be ridiculous because Grant Holt didn't say what his favourite crisps are.
How close was Grant Holt to doing top five favourite crisps? Because he goes...
Oh, he hates crisps.
Does he?
He really dislikes them.
Fascinating. Yeah. But he won the Smith's Crisps Cup.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't eat it. So when we spoke to Paddy Kenny the other day about his book, and he said he sat in a Costa for 5 hours with his co-author Danny. Did you have a similar process with Grant? Because I'm fascinated about the behind-the-scenes aspect of you and Grant working on this book together.
I suppose it's probably quite different to most, or to plenty of them. I worked at the time for the football club to Norwich City.
Oh, okay.
And Grant was also doing, and obviously a Norwich City legend, he lives in Norfolk, and he was also working in the coaching capacity for the youth team. So he would be often at the training ground, and I'd be often at the training ground. So nearly every single interview was done in a small boardroom. With lots of
chocolate bars,
motivational messages on the wall.
What were the motivational things on the wall? Were they?
Yeah, I was trying to remember while saying it.
Come on, let's be having ye.
it is a Delia Smith quote.
Really?
It's not that one. Well, I can't remember what it is now.
Add three teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah. I am now, through kind of osmosis, I think, just an expert at boiling eggs as well, having sat in a room like that with her motivational quotes on the wall. I'd end up at each interview and just go through the questions and just go through the research, and then stuff would crop up. Occasionally, like, you'd kind of just, he'd go off on a tangent, as he often does, and you'd end up, you know, you're trying to talk about his time at Rochdale, and then he'd start banging on about chocolate bars again. Just have to go with it, you know. And when he starts banging on about chocolate bars, you know the good stuff is coming.
Right. Okay.
Who came up with the top five idea? Was it you? Or was that you? Just a way of being like, okay, fine, you can bang on about it, but we'll make it into a top five.
I'd love to claim it, but it was Grant's idea actually.
Really good read, idea.
It was. It's from another author, not a football one. Maybe Chris Evans's. I can't quite remember someone else's autobiography.
What unusual connection. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I quickly got the impression that's probably the only kind of one of the few books Grant Holt has read, and that's not to, you know, cast aspersions on him, because he's despite his public persona, he's a really bright, sort of naturally funny and playful guy.
I mean, there's a lot of very sad moments in the book.
Hmm.
Like how did those bits come about? Was he willing to open up about it?
Almost too willing sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, he was. I mean, I wanted the book to be more than just his football story, because, like, you know, I'd already knew him a little bit just from working through the football club. So I knew that he was quite, his character was different to what people's perceptions, you know, and including mine was of it. So I knew that he had a sort of interesting life story as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really willing to talk about his childhood and obviously the death of his father, which was very sad. And that came up naturally. The second time I sat down with him, it sort of naturally broached that subject, and it brought him to tears, which, you know, as myself being a Norwich City fan who 10 years ago thought this guy was, you know, the ultimate Norwich City legend, to be sat across the table from him with tears in his eyes was quite surreal. He was very much up for that being in the book, and just generally very much up for talking about his wife a lot, talking about his kids as well, and the birth of his kids, and how that sort of affected his sort of choices in terms of where to join.
Another of your Norwich heroes, Darren Huckabee, barely mentioned. I'm not here to... I say this every episode. I'm not here to slag off Darren Huckabee, but
every episode he does.
Yeah, I don't think he ever mentions his wife like two or three times in the whole thing. Have you ever met Darren Huckabee or Glenn Roeder?
because we want to try and clear a few things up. We have a guy later on on the show.
I've met Huckabee when he was also working for the football club.
Sure.
Okay.
But I've never met Glenn Roeder, who is, as you probably discussed, I don't know, is one of the probably least popular men within the Norwich City fan base, probably.
I can tell, but he's incredibly popular in Billericay's Christmas tree sales circuit. We've got a guy who rings up on the show, Farmer Tom, who loves Glenroder. He sells him a Christmas tree every year and says Darren Huckabee is very wrong to criticise Glenroder's personality.
Well, I've got to side with Huckabee. Well, I think probably Roeder got a hard time. Actually, no, that's not true. He was an idiot. So,
okay.
A hard time was probably justified.
In the actual process of writing it, because, you know, he's not quite how I expected him, but you do get a lot of personality across. Did you have to, like, method live as Grant Holt for a bit to get that voice across in the whole way?
Can I swear or not on this?
Oh, please do.
Go for it.
Without getting, like, someone and sound too wanky about it. So,
nice.
The amount of football or to
the W word.
Great swear.
I've heard that two or three times.
So wanky? I don't know. Wanky feels sweary enough to me, isn't it? It'd be beeped out on Neighbours, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That's my standard for swearing as well, actually.
Yeah.
So I imagined, how would Holty write if he was a good writer? So it's kind of using his voice, but polishing it up a little bit.
Sure.
So I was imagining it was Grant Holt writing it, if that makes any sense.
Okay, yeah.
It keeps his sort of tone of voice, but streamlined it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you kind of played two characters, kind of. You played Grant Holt and a screenwriter, author, sorry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So one that the screenwriter who would just drink a lot of bottles of whiskey and then who would just eat a lot of battered sausages. So, yeah.
That's what you did when you wrote the book.
I now have gout, obviously.
I'm drunk and I have gout.
What a way to be.
You mentioned Neighbours. Yeah. Do you think that's another top five that Grant Holt could do?
His top
five
soaps.
Yeah, or your Antipodean soap operas or something.
Well, Flying Doctors.
I didn't know that is.
Home and Away.
Okay.
Flying Doctors was early 80s, maybe. It was set in a sort of a vet that flew around saving kangaroos.
Well, that sounds good.
A little
flying vet. Mm. Why is the book only available in Norwich? It's frustrating because we tried to get our hands on it.
Is it a scam? It seems like a scam.
Absolutely. And I can say this now, I'm no longer an employer of Norwich City Football Club, we wanted all of the profits, and going through Amazon means we would have lost a lot of the profits. I do regret it, though, because obviously I'd rather it be more widely available, because Grant Holt's story, I think, is one that
I think it's
the world needs to know.
It's genuinely one of the best books we've read.
Yeah,
it was very hard to get a hold of.
It's sort of available in bookshops and where, like in towns he played, like Shrewsbury and Rochdale,
okay,
and
interesting,
etc. But yeah, it's not
Singapore.
Absolutely, it's massive in Singapore.
Yeah,
a bootleg copy in Singapore and Rochdale.
Yeah, and in Australia, wherever he ended up. I can't
of course.
Remember now.
Yes, yeah.
Some club.
That was it. Perth.
Yeah, he was a flying doctor.
saving kangaroos.
Okay, so there's one big thing we need to get into from the episode.
Is this Swan?
Thing. Okay, so you said that there was Jack. We looked into this, didn't we?
So yeah, in the episode we talked about how Grant Holt sees a swan
and it steals a glove of a goalkeeper.
It steals the glove of a goalkeeper and flies off. We went online and we asked Scunthorpe fans whether they'd seen a swan go onto the pitch
ever.
Yeah. go onto the pitch at a game, and they said they had, or rather, it wasn't a swan, it was a goose who stole the goalkeeper's glove.
I regret this.
Please explain yourself.
Well, in my defence, there is a report, and it did say a swan in there. So when I was fact checking, it did come up. So, and I've seen the video that you stuck out.
The video is good. It's a good video, although we don't.
It's definitely not a swan, is it?
No, it's definitely not a swan. It's a Canadian goose.
We had that verified.
Yeah.
We had that verified by an ornithologist.
Bill Oddie.
Yeah, Bill Oddie is a big listener of the show. He loves Grant Holt. He was very disappointed in him.
It's a good story though, isn't it?
True.
Oh,
yeah,
sure. It's a good fantasy that you've cooked up. It's a good bit of fake news you've thrown in there.
Another guy which the book is we need to get to the bottom of this as well. Ibiza Jack.
What's going on there?
For those who don't know who Ibiza Jack is, Jake Humphrey, who wrote Grant Holt's foreword, included a testimonial from Ibiza Jack in the book. So we messaged Jake Humphrey, Daniel. He had no idea who he was, Ibiza Jack. I've asked loads of Norwich fans. They've got no idea. Do you know who Ibiza Jack is?
No. I can't remember. So Jake Humphrey asked his Twitter followers to, I can't remember what it was now, write a line, wasn't it, about what they thought of Grant Holt. And I obviously fact-checked them, but you're absolutely right. He no longer seems to exist. Unless he's changed, you know, maybe no longer goes to Ibiza and he's grown up and just goes to Blackpool now. So he's changed his name to Blackpool Jack.
Blackpool Jack. Jack.
But he's out there, you know.
He's out there somewhere. Okay. There's an Ibiza Jack somewhere.
One day.
What was it he said? Was it anything?
It was
legend is an overused word.
But I'm going to use it anyway. Yes, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but never is it more applicable. In retrospect, it almost sounds like he's taking the piss there, doesn't it?
Do you have the book on you, Daniel?
Yes, I do, yeah.
You told me there is a photo section, which we couldn't see. We didn't have the hardback. Oh.
Yeah, the hardback is downstairs. I've got the paperback on me right now. Which does not have a photo section. The hardback.
As well, we know.
Do you remember some of the pictures in there? Just I'll play the gallery music, and just you can just tell me a few of the pictures in there, and we'll imagine looking at them.
So there's several photos of his kids, of course, on the pitch at Carrow Road when he's just won promotion to the Premier League for the first time at the grand old age of late 20s or whatever it was.
Look at their smiling faces,
I assume.
Yeah, lovely. There's one of him wearing a sombrero as a child.
That's great.
With little rosy cheeks on holiday.
What a cute thing that I'm trying to imagine.
Yeah.
And what else is there? There's a few football ones.
That's good for a football
winning player of the season, scoring a goal for a football team. I can't remember which one now. Nice. Potentially Rochdale.
This has now just become a man trying to remember some photos that he saw, explaining them to other people who have not seen those photos.
I'm loving it. This is the best section we've ever had in the show.
Great content here.
There's a photo of him young as well, playing for another football team. I can't remember the name of when he was young.
And is there a picture of him old
in the future?
Is there a future photo?
Yes, there is. I had to break into his house to get these photos. That's interesting. I should have mentioned that at the start, shouldn't I?
Is that
Here's one of him sleeping.
Just before print deadline, I'd been asking him for months for photos in order to reproduce them, and he hadn't supplied. He kept getting supplied them, and then he went on holiday, and a week before it went to the printers, so he said he told me how to break into his garage where all of his old photo boxes.
No way!
I had to go out to where he lives in the middle of Norfolk, get through a garden gate, and hope the neighbours didn't see, and then break into his garage.
Get past the guard swarm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Imagine if there had been anyone in his house, and you'd be like, "Oh, hi, I'm just stealing the pictures of a child in a sombrero."
Yeah, there was a genuine part of me that was disappointed that the neighbours didn't call the police. Like, who's looking out for their neighbours these days?
Yeah, that's bad. That's poor form, you know, Grant's neighbours. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so funny.
How many? Did you see a lot of chocolate bars in the house?
He has a secondary garage that is just chocolate bars.
These footballers and their lives, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
What a world.
What else are you up to, Daniel, nowadays?
Nothing to do. I left the football club in the summer, and now I'm writing about how technology is used to improve the planet instead, which would say is worthier than writing Grant Holt's autobiography, but I would say that is untrue.
Yeah. Are there any other players you want to write books for?
Well, the dream is Wes Houlihan.
Oh, yes.
It would be an absolute nightmare to write it, though, because he's quite shy and never turns up. Unlike Grant Holt, who is incredibly gregarious and loves the sound of his own voice in the best possible way. So
the best way to do it would be to get Wes Houlihan to tell Grant Holt all of his stories from his career, and then you write the book according to Grant. Yes.
Yes. Well, that's a whole new genre of football writing.
Wes Holtahan.
Daniel, thank you so much for coming on the show. We can't wait for your Wesley Houlihan book to come out when it does.
Your environmentally friendly Wesley Houlihan book.
I mean, on recycled paper, obviously.
Of course.
Just digital, actually. That
it disintegrates
sense,
when you've
it?
Read it. Yeah.
I mean, what I should have said, actually, is we refuse to go on Amazon because they don't pay their taxes. If you can edit that bit in, just to make myself
No time for politics here. No time for politics here, I'm afraid.
We're a very pro Amazon show.
We're pro Amazon, we slag off Glenn Roeder. That's all we're about. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
What a nice guy. Now, Jack, we mentioned in the best of how one of the most important things for a book club is the bottle of alcohol we drink throughout the recording.
Of
how
course.
Else do you think we get through these books? And I think we found the most football book club drink yet. Jack, I'm not sure if you've seen this. Lorenzo Amoruso has his own gin.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Why?
So it's I don't think he's involved in the process of making it, but okay. It's part of the Rangers Legends gin collection. This isn't an advert either. It sounds a lot like an advert.
God, I mean, we're saying this and we're not getting paid.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't even know how good it is.
Maybe they'll send us a bottle.
Maybe they will.
Yeah, let's make this advert okay. good.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Let me just cue some alcohol advert music. Okay. They've released four different gins.
Ooh, four? What great variety.
Thank you. Each a slightly different flavour, influenced by a Rangers Legend, and because he was number four, his is number four, obviously.
Okay.
What flavour do you think they made as gin?
Bitter Italian.
So what would that involve? Like a kind of blood orange?
A blood orange, an olive.
Okay.
The hair of...
Pasta? Pasta in there?
Yeah, pasta, a little bit of pasta. What other offensive things can we say?
Imagine
a Ferrari.
The Vatican City. Imagine, a different
Pope.
Imagine if you bought a bottle of gin that's just like a bit of like tortellini Pope like floating around in there. Yeah, it's Italian. No, it's summer fruits flavoured gin. Oh, lovely pink colour with a picture of Hunky Lorenzo on the front. A few questions I've got. Why gin? Why not Baileys?
Obviously it should be Baileys. I suppose it's too painful for him, isn't it? To talk about his Baileys addiction.
Also, that's another thing. Do you really want a man who's got alcohol addiction problems as the gin?
Yeah, that sounds a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's fun alcohol addiction, his one. It's not the bad
type. It's fun. It's the fun kind, guys. Just enjoy it. Who are the other people doing it?
That's a good question, actually. They have Arthur Newman's Blood Orange and Passion Fruit Gin.
Ooh.
Jorg Albert's Peach and Raspberry Gin. Actually,
what a bizarre... This is such a specific era of Rangers players.
There was a funny quote on the website. I want to find it. Okay. It's not... by Chris Boyd. Chris Boyd says, "Taste was great for all four gins. I have my order in already. They haven't made a Chris Boyd gin." It's just depressing.
That is sad.
Yeah. We don't encourage drinking, but you can drink along to the episode. That's probably the perfect accompanying tipple to it, and especially for the Lorenzo Amoruso episode.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, what other footballers could have a little spin-off products?
Ooh, it sounds like you've got a fun little event.
No, I thought, I mean, Marcus Hanneman was straight to mind.
Oh, Costco.
No.
Coffee.
No.
Oh, Red Bull.
Red Bull,
of
coffee.
Of course.
Or
yeah.
Also Jim Beam.
Oh, that'd
Jim
be good,
Beam,
yeah.
Oh, he loves his Jim Beam.
He does love his Jim Beam.
That went well. I think Louis Saha talked about hot sauce at some point.
I can Louis
Saha hot sauce. Dudek coffee.
Dudek coffee.
Again, kind of sad thing to laugh about. He got scolded by it. Maybe it's like a scold-proof coffee.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, so that people
ice
don't make the same mistake.
Ice coffee.
Ice coffee. No one gets scolded with ice coffee, unless it's really cold.
I feel like for all that free promo we just gave them, what was meant to just be a fun little bit, we definitely deserve a bottle.
We definitely do.
Okay, questions.
Ah, love them.
Thank you very much, everyone who sent them in so far. Please do keep sending them in.
Mm-hmm.
Send them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to do. But thank you.
Don't come up to us in the street.
People have been sending them throughout the series. Here's our first question we're going to answer. This one comes from James in Teesside. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hello there. James from Teesside here.
I recognise that.
Long time fan of the show. I just wanted to ask if you have any future plans to give more airtime to Northern voices, specifically my Northern voice. I'm on the show. It's James. I'm on the show with you.
Oh, it's James.
Not sure.
Can't really get a word in edgeways, so... just wondered if you had any plans to do that in the future. Thank you.
All right, let's cut that off.
Rude.
Jeez. Did you recognise that one? Took me like 27 seconds to think. He's so quiet usually during the show. Right, let's move on. So our next question. Actually, it's not really a question. It's more of a observation from one of our shows.
I know.
But we're going to call...
It's not a question. It's more of a comment.
We're going to call one of our listeners who asked to be called Jamie Hassel Clark, friend of the show. So let's call.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello, Jamie Hassel Clark, friend of the show.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Top five chocolate bars?
Dream, Whisper Gold.
Oof. Ooh. These are big.
Yeah, good.
I haven't thought this far.
Come on. Just say what comes into your head.
Dream, Whisper Gold, yep. Cadbury's Caramel, yep. Boost, Mint Aero.
Okay.
Ooh, good. That's very quick.
That was quick.
Jamie Hassel Clark, friend of the show, you messaged us on Instagram, and it wasn't so much a question you had, but an observation from one of the episodes. Do you mind telling us what that is, please?
Yeah. So I believe in the last episode, or maybe the one before, you mentioned about... Gerard Houllier changing personality after he had a heart transplant or heart surgery.
Yes, that was the Dudek episode, yeah.
Yes, And, well, it just reminded me of a Japanese cartoon, an anime, which is where, that exact plot.
What, Gerard Houllier? As his, yes. As his heart rate.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so essentially in the show, there's two brothers, uh-huh. and the older brother is much better at football than the younger brother, because they always say that the younger brother is missing a sort of edge to his game. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they're in a car crash and the older brother dies. And to save the younger brother, they transplant his heart in.
Okay.
And then that magically gives him the edge that he was missing. And he then goes on to be a much better player as a result.
So whose heart is it they give?
So they give the younger brother the older brother's heart.
Oh, because they're both about to die?
No, one. Yes. One's died.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like they're both about to die, so they sacrifice one.
I'm with
one
you. And which one's called Gerard?
I think they're both Gerard Houllier. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think anyone was ever going to message us and say that one of our episodes is the plot of a Japanese anime. That is. Do you know a lot about anime, Jamie?
I do.
Okay.
I'm happy to chime in anytime that happens again.
I think
it's going to happen again?
I think
it's an anime show where a swan steals a glove off a goalkeeper.
No. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything even with a swan in it. I'm sure there is.
Are you sure there's no anime called Glovey Swan Boy?
That does sound like a bad translation of a Japanese anime.
Glovey Swan Boy.
Louis Saha and Maya Yoshida both talk about Captain Tsubasa. Is that his name? Captain Tsubasa? Do you know him?
That's probably the most famous football anime. I know... Fernando Torres, in his autobiography, said he was a big fan of that.
Have you been reading separate autobiographies, Jamie?
No. My brother is obsessed with Fernando Torres, and he asked me about it.
Just make sure you promise me you'll never read a book without.
I promise. I have not read any footballers.
I mean, what are we even doing if you start reading these things yourself? The player, very quickly, did it turn him into like a worse person? Because that seems to what happened to Gerard Houllier.
Yeah,
is he turned into like a real dick?
No, he just became much better at football, which is, I guess, the other outcome of a heart transplant.
It can go one of two ways.
Yeah, that's
either you become a grouchy, you go on regular football, or you become a grouchy manager of Villa, basically. That's what goes on. While you're here, Jamie, have you got any NAF football sightings?
I once saw Chris Kamara at Copenhagen Airport.
What was he doing?
He was just sat there at arrivals, although I did see on Twitter a few days later he went to see Mariah Carey in concert.
In Copenhagen, or was that?
In Copenhagen, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why is Chris Kamara flying to Copenhagen to watch Mariah Carey? Everything about that seems strange. Is that why you were in Copenhagen as well, Jamie?
I was not, no. I was there to see Gerard Houllier.
Okay.
You were there to do Gerard Houllier's heart transplant.
Yeah, to wish him better. Well, thank you, Jamie. We'll definitely call you if you have any more anime questions or questions about Dream Chocolate Bars.
Yep, I've got plenty of answers for those. Great.
Okay, time for another question. This one came through Instagram, where South Standrew said, other than Tim Sherwood, who else who hasn't written a book would you want to read?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Jack, I'll let you answer this one.
Clinton Morrison, there we go. When I was growing up, I loved Clinton Morrison.
Okay.
Clinton Morrison was the best player in the world.
And he was.
He was so good. He scored against Liverpool in the League Cup semi-final, and I want to say that must have been 1999, 2000 or so.
For Palace.
For Palace, yeah. And he was amazing. There was a time where Clinton Morrison was just the best person.
I think he'd be... Yeah, he should write.
He probably has written a book.
I don't think he has, but he should, if he hasn't, yeah. That's a good shout.
Who would you go for?
Well, I mean, if you all know who I'm going to go for, Tim Sherwood. But Tim, it's now been 3 weeks since that episode came out. You've had your chance. I've messaged...
We all know that it takes 3 weeks to write a book.
At least, I just wanted him to make his intentions clear that he's doing it. He's acting upon my demands.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I said, Tim... If you don't write a book, I'm going to write it. He hasn't written it, so I've started writing it.
Good for you.
I've got a title.
You got a title, okay.
Yeah. It's called Sherwood, The Man Behind the Gilet.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
And I've gone one step further.
Okay.
I mean, actually, I haven't got much of the contents down so far. I've got, it's going to have a foreword about how great Tim Sherwood is by Tim Sherwood. That's the only thing I've planned so far about that. But when I do write it, I'm going to serialize it.
Oh, of course,
on the show. I've gone one step further than the foreword. A friend of the show, Matthew Brazier, who does our artwork.
Uh-huh.
I've got him to make the front cover of the book, and I'd just like to see your reaction to that, Jack.
Oh no.
Oh. And Akila, can you describe to the audience what you're looking at?
It is a picture of Tim Sherwood sitting on a kind of chair you'd get at a school graduation,
yep.
I would say,
mm-hmm.
Pull-out chair, wearing a gilet, and nothing else.
And staring into the middle distance.
Staring into the middle distance and holding his chin. He looks a bit like Rodin's The Thinker.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Would you pick up that book in the shop?
I would pick up that book to immediately burn it.
Anyway, Tim, my threats are getting...
My threats?
They're getting more severe now.
Okay.
So I've got the cover, and until you write a book, I'm going to keep serializing my version of your book every wider reading episode.
This is like a hostage negotiator saying, like, I'm going to send a finger in the mail. He's going to send bits of this book out.
I'm going to rip up a gilet and send it in the mail. Okay, we've got one more question coming from a friend of the show. He's called in many times before. He's the foremost Christmas tree seller in all of Billericay, and we're delighted to have him back on the show for the first time since last Christmas. Let's give Farmer Tom a call.
Farmer Tom!
Hello.
Tom!
How are we doing?
Tom, what was your question you have for the show?
I've got an answer for it.
Okay, but I'm not going to give it away.
But it's not a right or wrong answer. It's your opinion.
What a strange start.
I'm going to be wrong. It's not the same as mine. But so my question would be: when you look back on the books that you've read, is there an individual in the football community who has popped up in these books sort of more than once, twice, maybe three times, and you think, What are you doing in here again?
I do have an answer for that.
You do?
Yeah. I do have an answer. I'm interested. Are you thinking of one right now, Tom?
Yeah, I've got my answer. Because, right. Yeah.
The one I think, yeah. I'm not sure if we've mentioned him in every single episode, but Adiak Mbaye, as I mentioned to Paddy Kenny, pops up all the bloody time.
Yeah.
He's in Perry Groves's book. And like they must have had the tiniest crossover in career. He pops up in like 94 or something, yeah, in a friendly. Yeah.
It's definitely one of the... It's like the sun's rising and the sun setting.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Sort of like ships in the night passing. It's quite cool.
Yeah, and then he's in Paddy Kenny's. He's in other ones as well. He's in...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ones.
Kevin Phillips's maybe.
I think he's in Jermaine Pennant's as well.
Yeah, probably.
During the Stoke years.
I think he's... him and obviously Peter Reid.
Peter Reid
pops up a lot. It's not allowed to be... can't be classified as a football autobiography if Peter Reid doesn't turn up at something. Who was the one you were thinking of?
Well, I thought that you would say Darren Huckabee, because do talk about him a lot.
We've been oversaturated with Norwich books. And
yeah.
Things, so.
And I think that's also because we read Darren Huckabee the first, we were then constantly looking out for him.
Yeah.
Darren Huckabee the first?
Yeah, King of England. Darren Huckabee the first, famously Darren Huckabee the second at Agincourt.
But my answer would be, and then I would say that if you cut the football book club in half, it would bleed this person. And that person would be Glenn Rowler.
How did I know that?
This is all just a big
How did I not
scam?
See that coming? How did
it's
I not
a big scam to get you talking about Glenn Rowler again?
You've fallen into that one.
Glenn Rowler does turn up. He turned up in Kevin Phillips as well.
Yeah,
he did.
Almost
right
as like a
beginning.
Prequel, like a Star Wars prequel style character. Where he hadn't quite turned evil yet.
Yeah, the little spin-off. Yeah. 4.5 minutes. You had us going with that, thinking you had a really insightful answer, and it's just a plug for your business. When does Christmas tree season start? When do you get in full swing with things?
I actually had correspondence regarding Christmas tree business today.
Did Glenn message you?
Not from Glenn.
A nice one.
I like to think Glenn and I, we don't need to message. There's just a mental understanding.
Sure,
he'll be in. I know what tree he wants. He knows that he can get it from me.
I'm going to start a sweepstake.
Yeah.
For when Glenn Rhodes is going to come collect his Christmas tree this year. Jack, what are you saying?
I think I'll say December the 5th.
Interesting. I'm going to go December 9th for me. Tom, what are you saying?
Yeah. I'm going to go, unlucky for some, December the 13th.
Oh, late.
That's late.
Well, say hi to Glenn.
Will do.
Best of luck to Billericay Town for the season. I want to do an interview with you, me, and Jamie O'Hara, and Jack, of course, on your tractor. And will that help out your business, do you think, going forward, if Billericay becomes like the team to go see? Well, When people can see football. Do you think that help?
Well, I could stand, instead of standing out the front selling scarves, I could sell Christmas trees.
Yes.
Get your half and half Christmas tree here.
Tom, speak soon. And any more questions you have about the book, which are just tricks to get to talk about Glamroda again, feel free to call up for that.
I'm always thinking.
always tricking.
Thanks, Tom.
No worries. Speak to you later.
Farmer Tom, that bit where you said you, me, Jamie O'Hara in the back of your tractor.
Yeah.
Sounds like the type of thing you say at a nightclub to someone when you're trying to pull.
Come out to my tractor. It's me, you, Jamie O'Hara.
You, me, Jamie O'Hara, back of a tractor. Let's do it.
Remember the film You, Me and Dupree? Did you remake that?
You, me and Jamie O'Hara.
Do
you think Jamie O'Hara's up for
it? Set in Billericay. Thanks very much for listening, guys. We'll be doing another wider reading next month. Please send us more questions for it over on Facebook, at Footy Book Club on Twitter, at Football Book Club on Instagram. Follow us on there, review and subscribe to the podcast. We'll be back next week with an actual book. We are reading Andy Gray's Shades of Grey. That's generally the title. Yep. From Jack's reaction, I'm sure that's a little hint at how much he enjoys the book.
It's worth saying that he named this book before 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, it came out in 1986, yeah. a long time ago.
So he invented BSM.
And on that note, see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It was created and produced by James Bug. The music Lobby Time is the property of Kevin MacLeod at filmmusic.io and is used under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back next week. Until then, bye-bye.